And by the way, I read the articles in the newspapers this weekend. It was just wild speculation, by the way. What you're reading is wild speculation, which is, it's kind of a, you know, happens quite frequently here in the nation's capital.
Speculation is not just a feature in our nation's capital. It's also happening in foreign capitals. Jefferson Morley tracks international headlines in his column on the Washington Post's website. Even as Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad announced important progress in his country's uranium enrichment this week, Morley noticed an especially cool reception for American hawkishness in the European press, especially in Britain.
Ewan McGaskill in The Guardian said that he didn't think any Labour government, Tony Blair or his heir apparent Gordon Brown, would participate in this.
But The Guardian is explicitly left of center.
Yes. But on the other hand, The Times of London, which is a Murdoch paper and endorsed the war in Iraq, also said very much the same thing. Sarah Boxer for The Times of London said that this was not something that any Labour government would be able to muster a majority in their cabinet for.
I wonder, have any of the British papers suggested that these leaks were in fact targeted, that it may not actually be the case, that there is a plan on the table to even possibly use nuclear bunker busters in Iran?
Le Monde in Paris was a little more dismissive of this round of reports and suggested that they were kind of a psychological warfare as preparation for the coming negotiations to indicate to the Iranians that the West was very serious. In Russia, you have a little bit of a different reaction. For example, in the Moscow News, which is an independent paper but politically connected, they quote one of the leading Russian nuclear scientists as saying that it's the Iranians who are blowing smoke. And this was also reflected this way in Itar Tass and Novosti, two leading Russian news agencies, quoting scientists saying, look, the Iranian claims are really overstated. Their capacity to move towards the processing necessary to create nuclear weapons is still in its laboratory stage, not in an industrial stage. And so they were saying not to take it too seriously.
And that makes sense because Russian officials have taken a go slow against Iran reaction at the UN and in these negotiations. So has China. So did the Chinese press similarly focus on diffusing Iranian claims and not spend as much time on the Hirsch story?
The Chinese press, which of course is state controlled, focused on downplaying the story in all of its forms. They played the White House downplaying of the story very big, bigger than the original story. In the Chinese press over the last few months, and I'm talking about the People's Daily Online and China Daily, which are both English language websites, they talk about the harm that war or even economic sanctions against Iran would take. China wants this resolved at the level of the IAEA. They do not want the Security Council to take any action.
Do you have any observations on the U.S. press? Because it struck us here that the Hirsch story got an awful large amount of play for being so anonymously sourced.
It did get a lot of play, I think, which is a tribute to Hirsch's record. But in the foreign press, I did not get the impression that it was as big a surprise maybe for them as it registered in the U.S. press.
You mean they were expecting this sort of thing?
Well, the narrative of here we go again in Iran has already taken hold in the Middle Eastern European press. So that one U.S. publication was talking about the possibility of nuclear weapons being used didn't loom that large.
All right. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jefferson Morley writes the World Opinion Roundup for TheWashingtonPost.com. This year, Hannah Alam took over as Knight Ridder's Cairo bureau chief after more than 2 years as Baghdad correspondent. This week, she traveled to Iran, just as the New Yorker story was hitting the newsstands.
When I read that piece, I thought, my goodness, mushroom clouds, radiation, let me get back to Baghdad where it's safe, you know? But then you go out on the streets and you do see that it's business as usual. Most people I speak with here, just ordinary Iranians, are saying that they think sanctions would be the worst case scenario, and they add that that's nothing new for Iran.
Are the media basically reflecting what the people you talk to feel, or is there some separation?
Well, Iran's media is tightly controlled by the state. So that article made a big splash in the official circles. The Iranian government immediately responded by calling it psychological warfare. Officials were dismissing the notion that the United States would risk another preemptive strike in the region, given the results of the one in Iraq. And the press is definitely repeating the government's message that pursuing nuclear energy for peaceful purposes is Iran's right.
Here there's a distinct sense in much of the reporting that whatever Ahmadinejad says, his government is ultimately set on building a bomb. Any talk in media circles about that at all, or is that kind of discussion simply off limits?
That's a red line. There's no discussion of that. The only message, both from the officials and the newspaper on that topic, is that Iran is solely after nuclear energy for peaceful purposes and that the pursuit of a nuclear weapon is absolutely not in the cards.
You use the phrase red line. We know that means those are the topics that you really can't discuss in the media. Are there other red lined subjects with regard to this nuclear issue?
I'm trying to figure out what I can say, given that my conversation is probably being recorded and I'm still in the country. I have to follow those red lines when I'm here. And I really don't want to risk, I'm sorry, I don't want to get into what the red lines are. Obviously, you know, it's any criticism of the Supreme Leader, it's any talk or revelations about any kind of parallel nuclear program that Iran might be pursuing. You know, those things just are absolutely off limits.
All right. Hannah, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Hannah Alam is the Cairo Bureau Chief for Knight Ridder. She's been reporting this week from Tehran.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.